Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Standing there looking at the man in the mirror. Hard to make a change when you're so far gone. Feeling like your dreams couldn't be any further. But you're doing what you gotta do just to keep the lights on. Bringing hearts and light of rain. But it won't let up, go away. Won't be long, cause we've all seen brighter days. Not alone, cause I'm just one call away. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just you got the whole world on your shoulders. You try to walk with it, but you stumble and fall again. Out here on your own, thinking nobody loves you. And you wouldn't be mad if you didn't wake up the next day. But you're praying hard, so your knees don't feel a thing. Won't fool this masquerade. If there's a God, why won't he help me through the pain? The reason why is to make a stronger man. So don't forget when life brings you down. It won't last forever, it's just for right now.
Tune into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of the voices. This is the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all, in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all in sight, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation, black education, and black empowerment. This is your platform, the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Blood Soaked. The global winds of war scream louder. Now, before we go into the show, I have to say a few things and address a few things. A lot of callers are being blocked from the show. I am very aware of that. As a matter of fact, Blog Talk has put up a barrier stopping callers from calling in, and those who have gotten in are being disconnected. So I want to put that out there. I am very aware of what is going on. Secondly, when we were scheduled to do the show on Tuesday, we could not get on the air. As a matter of fact, let me put it to you like this. When we went to the Blog Talk the day before the show, they had told us, and I'll put this out there for anybody. When we went there, it said, we thank you for being a valued member for almost 8 years. And my services were terminated. This is what the message that I got. Went to the show, could not access anything. But the next day, later on that night, something told me to look back, and then my account was reinstated. I have no understanding. They have not given me any explanation on why this occurred, so I'm letting you know this. So whenever a show is scheduled to come on and it's not on, we understand what is going on. This is to not only frustrate the host, but this is also to frustrate the listeners, because the audience continues to build even with all of the problems that they subject the show to. Okay? This is what is going on. With all of the problems that they subject the show to, it continues to grow, and this is scaring them. So they are doing everything that they can to prevent the show from going on the air. So if we are doing a show and it's not on the air, 9 times out of 10, they are blocking it, or they have messed with the schedule, or they've done something. But this is to be expected, because we are hitting them hard, and we are the only show that is hitting them where they need to be hit. We're hitting them with a weapon that they have no defense against. This is a spiritual and economic nuclear time bomb that is going off in their face, and they can't handle that. So this goes right along with our show, which is titled Blood Soaked. The global winds of war scream louder. Yes, this is a live show. Yes, we know that they're blocking callers. Yes, we know that they're hanging you up. Yes, we know that they're messing with our microphones, but it doesn't matter. This only goes to prove our point that they are in a desperate time, and as with all things, desperate people do desperate things and commit desperate acts. So this is an act of aggression against the Lord of the world, because what we're doing is disseminating the message that he gave to us from the mouth of his apostle. But we're going to prove his messages. So today, blood soaked. The global winds of war scream louder. I hope you all join us on this show today. We're going to go into a few clips in a minute, but I just want you to understand the time. Let me read something to you. All right? And be patient with me. This will be just a little short 2 or 3 sentences, okay? Don't forget that you are in a time that has been kept hidden from you by the enemy of the time. Why is the time a secret from you? Because they don't want you to know the end of their time. Right there. Here you have it in a nutshell. Don't forget that you are in the time that has been kept hidden from you by the enemy of the time. He's not only your enemy, but he's an enemy of the actual time, of the actual clock on the wall, the actual watch on your wrist that makes motion from one point to another point. He's an enemy of that. Why? Because time is against him. And what did Bush say? And what did Trump reiterate? You're either with us or you're against us. are against us, you are an enemy to us, right? And since time is against America and time is against the Caucasian world and its foundation and its establishment, then it is not only against them in that way, it has become an enemy and a detriment to their entire world, okay? So Muhammad did write this. Don't forget, see, because most of us, we forget or we overlook it, or we don't understand what is being stated to us. Don't forget that you are in the time that has been kept hidden. What time? Remember when we spoke on this and we continue to try to break this down and reiterate this? Someone asked me, well, Brother Rashid, when I listen to your show, I hear you really get into it, and then you'll go over a point 5, 10, 20 times. Brothers and sisters, this is to make it clear. This is so that you have no excuse of why you didn't get this or understand it. So you'll hear me read certain points over and over and over again, and then you'll see me break it down with definitions of words. This is to relate it to you in a manner that you can understand. So let us read this again. Don't forget that you are in the time that has been kept hidden from you by the enemy of time. What time? Remember the promise of God to Abram? Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a strange land and among strange people who shall ill entreat them for the duration of 400 years, right? Muhammad tells us that the devil writes in his books that you were brought here in 1618, 1619, and Muhammad said, no, 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 no. They're wrong. You were brought here, the first slaves, was in 1555. See, these dates are very important for you to understand. This is why Rashid Muhammad continues to bring them up to you. And also, I'm speaking to a larger audience than just one person, okay? We have new listeners all the time. Listen to it in 180-some countries, so okay, I have to speak this way. So now, 1555. So for God to see his promise through, we must do a calculation forward. 1555 to 1655, that's 100 years. From that to 1755, that's 200 years. To 1855, that's 300 years. To 1955, not 1914, 1955. Are you saying that 1914 is irrelevant? No, sir. 1914 marked the end of the power of the white man universalist. And what you see in 1927, 28, 29, and then up into 1930, that was the build-up effect of the fall, the Great Depression. In these wars, because World War II, as they tell you, was a continuation of World War I, meaning that World War I never stopped. It just went underground. So we go to 1955, the 400 years. Then Muhammad writes that the devil would be given 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, which brings us to a mathematical calculation of 2015 to 2025. And in this calculation, Muhammad says all hell would break loose for the white man's world. There would be wars and the threat of thermonuclear war. This is what he was saying. There would be massive unemployment. You won't find jobs. All of these hallmark businesses that have stood the test of time in this 400-year duration would start collapsing one after another. What is going on? You see Sears. You see JCPenney's. You see Ford, you see GM, you see all of them in economic trouble, do you not? Do you see how the math is adding up here? You see, everybody is looking for black swans. Everybody is saying that the market cannot continue to go on in this situation. They know that there's a correction, and as we always say on this show, if a market must correct itself, if the economy must correct itself, if the global financial architect must correct itself, then that states openly that it is all in error as we speak. Is that not correct? So for a correction to take place, something must be in error, right? Is that not right? So what we're looking at is the manifestation of prophecy, the manifestation of God's will, and the exposure that Muhammad wrote that would come, and the dissatisfaction during this exposure that would cause a universal change. Blood soaked. The global winds of war scream louder. All of this stuff is connected, and I've been telling you this for on the air for about 8 years. And now you're hearing Peter Schiff and all of the rest of them are telling you that you got to connect the dots. The economics and the geopolitics all, and the politics all go hand in hand. We've been telling you that for the longest. But you tried to ignore what we were saying. And now you're getting it from the horse's mouth. They're telling you that all of these things have interconnecting points. And so what we're doing, we're using a brush and we're stroking it on paper to let you see the connecting points. And sooner or later, you'll get the picture, the bigger picture. Not just in your neighborhood, not just on your block, not just in your city or state, but you're going to get a universal view. The wisdom of God is not confined to 10 degrees or 20 degrees or 32 or 33 degrees. The wisdom of God is a full 360-degree complete circle. All right? And so this is what we're trying to give you a glimpse, a look into this 360-degree circle of power, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we go to what we were just talking about, and I'm taking a sip of water. As I said before the show, I was getting ready to say before the show that I have a bad headache. I would not cancel the show due to the fact that the devil has been blocking the show for the longest. I would not, and I also came from the doctor. I had to have blood drawn, so I'm a little weak also, brothers and sisters. Right before the show, I'm very weak, but you're going to get my best at all times, okay? Now, we're at this 2025, right? The 2015 to 2025, Muhammad says that all hell would break loose. He said that the stores would start closing down. There would be no jobs. He said that you would see collapse in all of American power. All white or Western power would start to go into utter decay and decline. What are you seeing today? And you're seeing them fighting like hell to try to maintain what little they do, they still have. Why do you think America's in Asia? Why do you think America is redeploying her troops in Somalia, in Yemen, in all of these areas that we told you on this show that she would deploy to? We told you these things. Go listen to the old shows. We told you the very deployments that are now taking place. We told you to look for them to take place. Why did we tell you this? Because Messenger Elijah Muhammad taught us these things. So we were giving you a glimpse of what we were taught. Because what you're seeing going on in the Middle East and what you're seeing going on in Asia has a direct effect on your salvation. I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a while ago, and I had the clip, and I misplaced the clip. I was going to play the clip for you. I misplaced it. I'm going to have to go back through my stuff. I'm usually very meticulous about these things, and I set them to the side. But when you have children, some things happen like this. You put it down somewhere, and you go back and look for it, and it's gone. But anyway, I had this clip of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he was talking about these very things here and about how Allah would stretch America militarily to break her power, and he would stretch her economically. And he would cause the nations to rise up against her, and she would be fraught with all types of problems, left and right, right and left, problems that she would not be able to endure or overcome. And these would be headaches upon her and sores upon her. And the more she goes up to mistreat you, the more the sores would build. And the more she would be beaten. And the messenger was saying, You got to endure this. You've got to be patient, and you've got to endure this. Because this is how God goes after this devil to break his power. This is how he removes his stranglehold over his elect people. He embarrasses America, brings her to her knees in abject poverty, failure, and dejection and isolation around the world. And this is what is going on. This is not going on right now. And I ask the people, see, because some of us, we lazy in our thinking. And we don't like to look at stuff and then, well, we do, but we analyze the wrong things the wrong way. But why are all of these things happening now in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period? I'm asking you these things. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that something must be up. Especially when America says she's going to redeploy her troops to all of the hot spots where she was losing ground at. Especially when NATO is helping redeploy that. And all of these nations, the Western nations, are bankrupt. All of them are almost out of gold, especially the gold that they've looted from other nations. All of them are in trouble job-wise. They can't provide jobs for their people. There's a growing nationalism growing in each nation because they're thinking that the other person is the cause of their problems when they don't realize that it is their arrogance, their hubris, and their white supremacy policies which lie at the core and the root of their fall and their demise. They don't address these things. But the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, why are they taking place today in that period? Huh? The market bubbles, right? The growing dissatisfaction, the poverty level, the wealth poor divide, huh? The market collapse and meltdown. Why are all these things happening now? And why are all of the white prognosticators, forecasters, investors, and pundits all telling you in unison? They're all telling you these things in unison that it is a mathematical certainty that America will collapse economically and that there will be war and that the West is on borrowed time. Why are they saying this? You remember when we used to say these things, they would say that was racism, huh? These were educated people who would say that we were dealing with racism. And now the same educated people are mute over the fact that the people whom they try to defend are now parroting the words that we have said. All of this leads to war, black man and black woman. Let me tell you this. I'm just going to be frank with you. All of this leads to war. Muhammad had it right. The Bible has it right. It will be universal war. What will it take to place the black man back on top of civilization? Since it took war to put him at the bottom of civilization, guess what it's going to take to raise him up and put him back on top of civilization? Huh? War. And so America and Europe, they're catching hell. They're telling you that we're going through what? Currency wars, right? They're going through cultural wars. You see, Europe in the grips of a what I would call cultural blowback for trying to impose their policy on other people. And now these other people are flying to Europe and bringing their culture, and Europe is in a situation now that they're catching hell. Blowback. America's going through the same thing. This is a war. You see it all across America and all across Europe. Civil insurrection, strife, right? And you see white people left and right are preparing for something great, something big. They're telling you, stash your money, stash gold, stash supplies, stash this. Why? Because they see something coming. They are wise enough because they were not put to sleep mentally and spiritually, and they see something coming of the greatest magnitude that will wreak hell and havoc on their international order. They know that it will be blood-soaked. That's why the global winds of war scream louder. So Muhammad says, don't forget that you are in the time that has been kept hidden from you by the enemy of the time. Why is this time a secret from you? Why? Why are you the ignorant one of the time? Everybody else, all of these other nations are preparing for something, but the black man is so confused, all he want to prepare for is for the NBA Finals. Huh? He wants to prepare for the MLB or whatever, Major League Baseball. He wants to prepare for football. Right? He goes and spends his hard-earned money on logos from teams that are racist against him. Why is everybody in the world preparing for war and preparing for something that will be totally devastating? But the man in the mud is preoccupied with foolishness. Do you ever ask yourself these things? Muhammad says, why is this time a secret from you? And he answers, because they don't want you to know the end of their time. So they're going to preoccupy you with madness, with foolishness, with ignorance, with sport and play. And the Quran tells you that the heaven and the earth were not created for sport and play. And since we're seeing another heaven and another earth being ushered in, if you are leaning towards sport and play, which is on its way out, guess which way you're going? You're going to be swept along with the current on its way out. You're not focused on the time. You're not focused on all of these events. You're not focused on why these events must take place. You are encapsulated in your own little room with your little meager and minute thinking. And you're not processing the whole thing as it should be processed. But you're going to get it here on the Star and Crescent Report. And we defy any scholar, any pundit, any religion, any nationality to dispute any word. 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. Let's do this thing. So, again, black man and black woman, let me say to you all, it is a very, very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because vindication is so sweet. To see and hear all of these events that's taking place, to see and to live in the time when the prophets wished that they could live in, to see just one day of the coming of the Son of Man, and your whole lives have been met in the days of the presence and the manifestation of the Son of Man. That is a very beautiful blessing. You understand? So, now we see why the devil is an enemy of the time. We see why you are ignorant of the time, and we see why he continues to try to keep you ignorant of the time. Because he knows that his system is on borrowed time. I want you to listen to this clip here. We'll go into a few clips. I don't want the time to go by. I think this show is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and you're going to listen. You're not going nowhere because you get a devil 2 and 3 hours for basketball, baseball, football, MMA, boxing, and everything else. You can give the truth 2 hours, okay? Or you're going to have to deal with me. Ha ha, nah, I'm your little brother. I'm just joking with you. All praise is due to Allah. And I want to say this to a brother, Omar, who sent me a letter. I got your letter. I'm glad you wrote me. I was trying to send this package out to you, but I lost your email, and I'm glad you sent the letter, and I'll get on that as soon as possible. It'll probably be next week sometime to send you out a free package, okay, my good brother? All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, listen to this clip here about the situation with the monetary system.
The underlying problem that Europe has, the United States has, and most countries around the world have, is there's too much debt. And what central banks are trying to do is debase their currencies to make the burden of that debt less of a problem for the countries that owe that money. So in the United States, for example, the national debt now is about $19 trillion. If interest rates were to rise 1% over the course of a year, that would increase the interest expense, you know, approximately $190 billion, maybe a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence of, say, a fair rate of interest, 5 or 6%, you would increase the interest expense burden of the U.S. government by $1 trillion. And the government only has $3 trillion of revenue during the course of the year. They're not going to cut spending in other areas to pay that extra interest expense, which means they'd go out and borrow more, interest rates would go up, and then you go into a hyperinflationary spiral. So what they're trying to do is to keep this present monetary system afloat. That's the bottom line. And it's not sustainable. And I think the thing that everybody needs to consider is that, you know, I mentioned before that gold has this 5,000-year history. And there have been monetary problems before throughout history, and eventually we always come back to gold because people recognize what the advantages are. We've been off the gold standard in the United States since 1971. We recognize all of the problems that we now have when you eliminate the discipline that gold imposes on the monetary system. So when this present system changes, we're going to go back to gold in some way. And the question is what do we do to protect ourselves in order to be prepared for these changes that are coming? And again, if gold is going to be at the center of the new system, you have to earn some gold.
So, certain major things that he just said. He said they're doing their best to try to keep this monetary system afloat. This is what he said. And he talks about the situation and how they had to get off the gold system because they didn't have the discipline. Because if they wouldn't have, to put it out there, if they wouldn't have gotten off the gold system, America would have openly defaulted on all of her debt. She covertly did it by taking the world off the gold and silver standard. But she would have overtly, openly did it had she not done so. Okay? So she was able to buy a little time, and with that little time that she had, she came up with something titled the petrol dollar. That's to keep the money going and keep the dollars recycled. And so she went over to Arabia, and she went over to the Middle East, and she gave these people offers that they could not refuse. If you sell your resources in our currency, we will help build up these desert sands. If you refuse, we will bomb you into oblivion. So this is the reason you see all the chaos and trouble over there. But he said something very, very poignant, which goes back to page 87 in the fall of America in the chapter Decline of the Dollar. He says, he mentioned 1971 and how America took the world off the gold standard, the gold and silver standard. Now, let's go back. We often read this. But let us read it now that we heard this white man talk about. This is one of the major problems that has beset America and the white world when they went off the gold and silver standard. And he makes this point. He says, we will return to the gold standard someday. Right? Now, I want to ask you something. If America, England, and the European, Western, or Christian nations have sold off their gold or no longer have their gold due to a changing tide in the international monetary system with the rise of China and other nations demanding purchases of resources and goods and gold. Where will this leave America, England, and the West if they have given up their goals, right, or have lost all of their gold resources? Where will this put them when the world turns back to the gold standard? They will be less than, what, third world nations, right? You know how they like to call African and Asian nations and South American nations third world nations, right? But those so-called third world nations have resources, right? And they have lots of gold and untapped silver resources, right? Well, what does this leave them when they no longer have the gold, when they no longer have the silver? They're no longer first world nations. They're no longer second or third world nations. So they got to be less than third world nations if they're not right. You see how God laid all this up to bear on America and the West. They thought that they could set up this Ponzi scheme and keep it going in perpetuity through the barrel of a gun and through the deception of their media. And now it's blowing back on them to bring them hell, the hell that they poured on everybody else, to bring them poverty, the poverty that they imposed on everyone else, to bring them to shame, the shame that they forced upon your necks and your faces. As thou hast done, what did the book say? As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. The nations would be judged out of their own books. Is this not right? So their books of greed, murder, rape, raping the people and the nations of resources, raping and murdering the people of all of their labor and wealth and manpower and brain power. It's coming back on them, right? And America can't stand this. England can't stand this. Europe can't stand this. Right? They're having problems dealing with this due to the fact that they see a world that is not under their dominion, a world that is not under their control, a world that no longer looks west for guidance, a world that no longer bows to Western dictates. This is driving them up a wall. They're going insane. They're crazy as hell because they are seeing the manifestation of God's glory. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we go to chapter 20 again, and we heard what this man said about the dollars and how the world went off the gold and silver standard. Now we're going to hear what Elijah Muhammad said because Elijah said it first, okay? You give this man and these people credit. And it's right here in these books right here where Elijah spoke about it before they ever uttered a word. When they were talking about America's the richest country in the world. America's the greatest nation on earth. America and England is this, and the West are rich countries. Elijah Muhammad says, no, sir, that's not the case here. And now the whole world is catching up to what Elijah Muhammad was saying in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, right? The man is a front runner, isn't he? He's a forerunner. And now you just catch it. You just on the coat, the end of his coat. And you still don't understand just how far ahead he is of the time. So he says, the stronghold of the American government is falling to pieces. He names this stronghold. Remember this title, the chapter is titled Decline of the Dollar. So he must be referring to the dollar. He calls it a stronghold. Why? Because it has a grip on the monetary order of all nations. This is why America is able to sanction people. Because the world does transactions in dollars. This is the Ponzi scheme. So the whole world that does transactions, even if you're doing transactions with your people in Asia, people are right across the border from you. You have to go through the monetary system and transact in dollars, and America gets a kickback from each transaction around the world in every transaction. So she has a stronghold, and if you disobey her, she sanctions you and cripples your economy. So this is what you call a stronghold. You know, this is where your power is at. Is that not right? So he says, the stronghold of the American government is falling to pieces. So we see now there's, between 60 and 100 nations now that have bilateral currency deals, swap agreements, bilateral trade that completely pushes the dollar shackles off them. We see the Shanghai Gold Exchange. We see the Russian bourse that they set up. We see the Iranian bourse that sells oil and petrochemicals outside of dollar and euro denominations. This is what Gaddafi was doing. But he didn't build up his military to at least rebuff them if they tried to move against him. So, we're seeing a change here. Muhammad says, he's talking about the dollar, has lost her prestige among the nations of the earth. The loss, one of the greatest powers of America was, I keep telling you, this is the way he put these words, was her dollar. He's saying this at a time when America's dollar is the world's it's the world number one transaction vehicle. It is without equal, it is without rival at the time when he's saying this. But he didn't say is, he used the word was, past tense. So he is saying that it is as good as done that this is over with the dollar. Just give it a little time and you'll be able to see what I'm seeing right now down the wheel of time. So he goes and says, the loss of such power will bring any nation to weakness, for this is the medium of exchange between nations. The English pound and the American dollar have been the power and beckoning light of these two great powers. But when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. Now, this white man says that, when we just played this clip, he says that the world will return back to sound money, to gold. And he says the situation, this Ponzi scheme, is unsustainable. Well, let us go to Webster's Dictionary. We need to find out what this means. It says, unsustainable, not able to be sustained. This is the only definition that they're showing at this moment, okay? So I'm just letting you know. Maybe another definition will pop up, all right? It says, not capable of being prolonged or continued, not sustainable, unsustainable growth. So when we look at this word here, unsustainable, it is telling you that it cannot go on forever. Is that not right? According to the definition, this cannot go on forever. The definition says, not capable of being prolonged or continued. So when Muhammad says to you, 60 cannot exceed 70 years, he's telling you that there's a cutoff point, and it cannot go any further past this cutoff point. Everything will start falling apart. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We're in this 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period. This devil is catching hell. But wait till you meet the cutoff point. You're going to see something, some of the things that you never thought you would ever see in your life if you so are blessed to be alive at the time. This thing will intensify, and it will gradually increase the pressure on America and gradually grind her to a halt, bringing down the pillars of the white world. This is things that you should understand. So Muhammad says, and I'm going to skip down for a minute because I'm getting to something. He says, but today, the currency of America is not bagged by any sound value, silver or gold. The note today is something that the government declares that they will give you the value in return, but does not name what that value is. But they definitely are not bagging their currency with silver or gold. We already know that what they're bagging their currency with is the barrel of a gun. I'll give you protection. This is why she has these alliances around the world. Our allies. We are steadfastly defending our allies. You hear her say that all the time? We have just signed a $5 billion military deal for hardware for Qatar, a nation that's not even hardly bigger than Pensacola, that was just made in, 1973? All this, the United Arab Emirates, these little made-up nations here. $3 and $4 billion, not even bigger than a city. Weapons deals, why? This is how she bags up a dollar. You need to understand that. So, he goes and says, this is the number one fall. What's the number one fall? That they're not bagging the currency up with gold or silver. He says, but actually he put silver first and then gold. He said, they're not bagging their currency up with silver or gold. Now, we'll maybe talk about the wording of that in another show, but that's something. And he says, this is the number one fall. And it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. So, stop right there. So now we're seeing the dollar under strain, under pressure. We're seeing her experience things that you never thought you would experience or see her experience before, because the dollar is under strain, because nations are quietly dumping the dollar. This is to weaken America, to weaken her grip, her stranglehold on you, to weaken her grip, her stranglehold on global politics, to get her out of the business of these nations so these nations can move against her to help weaken her so that you can get from under her foot. This is prophecy. These are the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is reality. So we're looking at it right now. We're seeing blood soak. The global winds of war scream louder. All of this, we're going to try to get all this stuff in on this show, okay? If we don't get it in on this show, we'll try to get it in on the next show. We're trying to connect the politics, the geopolitics, the military aspect, and then the economic aspect, or vice versa, the economic aspect, and then these other things, okay? I just want you to be patient with your brother. So he says, this is the number one fall. So because she has no gold, she has no silver. Remember America, when America and France and Germany went into Mali, they made this big stink about it. Notice every time they want to invade a nation, out of the blue, the nation is terrorized by so-called terrorists. You notice that? And America says we need to go in for humanitarian reasons. But whenever they go in, they don't never think about the humanitarian side. They always go in and secure the resources. So when France and America then went into Mali, the first thing that they did was secure the uranium mines and the gold mines. The people was just a thought in passing. When they went into Libya, the first thing they did was seize the gold, the money in the banks, the gold, and the oil field. Is that something? But this is humanitarian, right? You understand? Are you listening to me? When they had that coup in Ukraine, the first thing America did when they finally got their clutches into Ukraine fully was to take the gold reserves out of Ukraine. Did you know that? So, we're looking at these things, and we're seeing her on borrowed time. You know why they did this? Because England and America was caught settling their debt in tungsten. Tungsten, for those of you who don't know, is a metal that weighs with the weight of gold, looks like gold, and could pass for gold. And so the press, the Western press, put it out that it was China trying to pass off tungsten. And so China would not sit for this because they knew that if the world bought that, that lie, then China's economy would be in trouble. So China put America and England on notice and went out there and proved that it was America and England trying to settle their debts with tungsten. And what they did, they had tungsten bars, which weighed with the weight of gold. They had gold surrounding the tungsten bars, and then they were selling the tungsten bars because people, you know, they would just drill a little bit in there, maybe half an inch up in there to make sure it was gold, and then they would ship off these loads, these tons, thousands of tons of gold or tungsten to other nations. Well, when they did it to pay China, China, in front of the cameras, which shocked America and England, started drilling, and they didn't drill a half inch into the gold, the tungsten bar. They drilled in deep in there and exposed America and England as being the true international perpetrators of settling international debt with tungsten. Brothers and sisters, I hope y'all understand what's going on here. They are desperately trying to keep their Ponzi scheme going. For 413, if you had a question, I would go to you. I was just trying to finish my thought here on the tungsten. But she was exposed because she keeps telling the people that she has the largest gold reserves, but she doesn't. She keeps telling, but she continues to, she refuses to give these other nations their gold. And this is another reason why they took out Hugo Chavez, because Hugo Chavez wanted the gold of Venezuela back. And when they were moving slow, he made such a fuss about it. And he started questioning America whether or not she still had gold and questioning the other nations whether they still had their gold. And this put pressure on the markets and put undue pressure, unneeded pressure on America. So they had to come up with these schemes to repatriate the gold and the silver reserves of Venezuela. And this is why America is destroying the Venezuelan economy through sanctions and through these color revolutions there. Payback. She's doing it to Somalia. She's doing it to all the nations that she has beef with. This was long in the planning. So you see how blood is all over her hand. You see how England is right along with her. You see how the blood, their blood soaked. And this stuff cannot go on forever. But what God is doing, he's using these events to expose them. And they don't even see it. They knew for a long time, as Muhammad says, that their exposure was coming. They just couldn't do nothing to get out of the way of it. So he says, and we'll go down a little bit. He says, this is the number one fall, and it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. So we are seeing America lose her financial footing, aren't we? She's being displaced. Her dollar is being displaced. Her money markets are being displaced. Even all of her institutions, which guaranteed the dollar dominance, are being replaced. The IMF, the World Bank, right? All of these things are being replaced. Her credit rating agencies. China has the, what, the Dogon credit rating agency, and more nations are joining the Dogon credit rating agency than they are Moody's and Standard & Poor's and whatever the other one is. More people are going and joining that bandwagon. What about the BRICS Bank? What about the AIIB Bank? These are levels and instruments to remove the dollar. You just can't just quit the dollar and think everything is all right. You have to have institutions in the place of it. So when you bring the dollar and the institutions down, you'll have something to go to. This is what the world is doing. They're moving against America economically and politically and geopolitically. And this is bringing us closer and closer to war. And remember, remember how the white man was saying all of these things about Trump. And remember on this show, I kept telling you, I said they're going to be sadly disappointed. I said Trump was put in office. He was just like Obama. He was selected, not elected. He was selected to be the president because they needed him to be that president at this time. And I told you on this show that you'll see the same heads that are talking about Trump is making America great again. Trump will do this and Trump will do that. They'll get fed up with him when he's not living up to them, to what he said. They'll get mad at him, right? And they'll try to explain. First they'll be in denial. And then afterwards, they're going to just turn against him. But I want you to listen to some of the stuff they're saying. Well, first, we're going to listen to Dave, what he has to say. And then I'm going to skip over. I may play something about the dollar falling apart. Then I'm going to skip over and let you hear these other clips. And these other clips that I'm going to play after the two or three I'm going to play now will be kind of long, so you're going to have patience. I think each one of these clips are about 8 minutes long. After these are short clips I'm about to play, but the ones that I want you to hear, really want you to hear about 8 minutes long, a piece, something like that. And I want you to hear the frustration in these people. I want you to hear the confusion in these people and how they feel betrayed and how the system, they see what's going on. And just like I told you on this show, when it hits them, it's going to hit them like a ton of bricks. We're going to listen to some of those clips in just a few minutes. But I want you to hear what I think Dave has to say about Mr. Trump and about the global collapse. Okay? Pay close attention. This is, I think, a minute. So be patient.
Here, I wanted to start off with what is happening in the Trump administration. I mean, last time we spoke, he was just elected. He's been in office now. We see that he's coming up with a lot of different executive orders. And the question that everyone has on their mind, at least I do, is he actually in charge, or is there some other force that's actually in charge or in control of a government right now?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. I don't want to jump to any conclusions as far as where Trump stands. From what I've seen so far, he's completely surrounded by J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and neocons. And my feeling is that he's being influenced, or that he's aware. He's either being, basically my position is that either he's, in the best case scenario, he's surrounded by enemies. In the worst case scenario, he's surrounded by friends. So, the jury's still out on that for me. I think at the very least he's being influenced or manipulated by these elites that he's surrounded by.
This is how Dave is getting it. Remember, because he was a big Trump supporter. And they have to swallow this pill. They thought he was the great white hope, and he's turning out to be a great white dud. And we do these things because of the time. And because that America and Europe, they're fighting for their survival. And they're going to use the main thing that put them into power to try to maintain power. That's deception and war. Division and destruction. This is how they work. This is how they roll. So if you know their traits, you know the schemes, and you are aware of prophecy and theology, you can pretty much look at the stuff and tell you what's really going to happen. Okay? So with that said, we're going to go to a couple more short clips, and then we'll get to a couple of these other clips, okay? So, because I'm looking at the time, and I know we're down to like an hour and 6 minutes or something like that. So let me go to this other clip, and I want you to hear Dave and I'm talking about how the things are falling apart and how the dollar may fail or whatever. So this is right on that subject. So I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? This is about 2 minutes and 41 seconds. 2 minutes, 41 seconds.
The market's going to come down by how much do you think it's going to come down? You think there's going to be a correction like 10%, 20%? I mean, how far down do you think it's going to go?
I think by summertime, an initial correction of at least 10%, and then we're not going to see a bounce back. You might see some small sort of dead cat bounces going towards fall. But I think what will happen is it'll be initial sort of 10% shock, and then it's going to incrementally drop from there. And it's just going to keep dropping into next year. And, it's that the old frog in the boiling pot scenario where people will, maybe that initial shock will sort of wake people up, But then the crash will move into sort of a slower phase, and people will get used to the idea of that, well, stocks just, they go down every week. That's just kind of the way it is, and I don't think a lot of people will react or respond until, you know, further into 2018.
Do you think Trump will do anything when the stock market starts to fall?
I think he'll initially he'll blame the Fed. I think he'll blame the Federal Reserve. And this is, I've seen a sort of a progressing narrative as far as Trump versus the Fed. I've seen the Fed and particularly the, you know, the Democratic left or the extreme left sort of generating support for the Federal Reserve as being anti-Trump or a force to counter Trump. And Trump has been, I guess, building a narrative of being, iron-fisted as far as dealing with the Fed. We haven't seen much of that yet, but his rhetoric is going in that direction. I think, again, this scenario of Trump versus the Federal Reserve is perfect for the elites because ultimately, you know, and I, as I've written many times in the past, ultimately the goal of the elites is to reduce the United States and its economy down to about third world status. And in order to do that, they're going to have to remove the dollar's world reserve status. Without world reserve status, the U.S. economy is dead in the water. It's the only thing keeping us afloat.
So now listen, a couple things with that. He says the elite, right, want to reduce America to third world status. If that's the case, then why did they do it back then? Why did they let why didn't they just let America default openly? It's not, this is the thing, without Elijah Muhammad as the Rosetta Stone, you can't see these things. You can't pierce through all of this stuff. But look at this. Why would you do something that is, that would be a detriment to your wealth, your power, and your position? Huh? If the dollar is what has kept your influence going, kept you in the seat of authority and power and wealth and luxury, why the hell would you sabotage? That doesn't make sense. That's foolish. That's being like you getting robbed, but you have a gun on you, and instead of you shooting the robber, you turn the gun towards yourself and shoot yourself. It doesn't make sense. But he says something. He says the dollar, right, is all that they have left. This is what he's saying. So he knows that they're in trouble. Can I play that clip for y'all one more time? Because I want you to hear the end of what he said about this dollar. Give me 2 more minutes and 41 seconds. I want you to listen closely to what he said, because sometimes we hear these things, but we don't hear. I want you to listen closely to what he said about how things are falling apart.
Mark, it's going to come down by how much do you think it's going to come down? You think there's going to be a correction like 10%, 20%? I mean, how far down do you think it's going to go?
I think by summertime, an initial correction of at least 10%, and then we're not going to see a bounce back. You might see some small sort of dead cat bounces going towards fall, but I think what will happen is it'll be initial sort of 10% shock, and then it's going to incrementally drop from there, and it's just going to keep dropping into next year. And, it's that the old frog in the boiling pot scenario where people will, you know, maybe that initial shock will sort of wake people up, but then the crash will move into sort of a slower phase, and people will get used to the idea of that, well, stocks just, they go down every week. That's just kind of the way it is, and I don't think a lot of people will react or respond until, further into 2018.
Do you think Trump will do anything when the stock market starts to fall?
I think he'll blame the Fed. I think he'll blame the Federal Reserve. And I've seen a sort of a progressing narrative as far as Trump versus the Fed. I've seen the Fed and particularly the Democratic left or the extreme left sort of generating support for the Federal Reserve as being anti-Trump or a force to counter Trump. And Trump has been, I guess, building a narrative of being, iron-fisted as far as dealing with the Fed. We haven't seen much of that yet, but his rhetoric is going in that direction. I think, again, this scenario of Trump versus the Federal Reserve is perfect for the elites because ultimately, as I've written many times in the past, ultimately the goal of the elites is to reduce the United States and its economy down to about third world status. And in order to do that, they're going to have to remove the dollar's world reserve status. Without world reserve status, the U.S. economy is dead in the water. It's the only thing keeping us afloat.
So, his logic is not making sense. If the elites want to do this, they could have done it many times before. But he says the dollar is the only thing that they have left. Now, why weren't they saying that when they were spending in oblivion and living a life of luxury and accumulating this debt burden that they can now no longer rid themselves of? This is pointing the finger and playing the blame game. It is not the elite. The elite may have directed this thing at first, but it is the entirety of society. Even right now, you see people living above their means right here, right now. The elite ain't making them do that. They want to be hip. They want to be out there. I have a Mercedes-Benz. You paying $500 every 2 weeks or every month on a Mercedes-Benz, and you barely making $2,000 a month after taxes. The elite ain't making you do that. You doing that. The same with America. She's spending over, and guess what? America internationally is a reflection of America domestically. She's racist as hell internationally. Guess what? She's racist as hell domestically. She's greedy and lustful internationally over what others have. Guess what happens? She does that with us, right? She don't want to see us get ahead on nothing. Is that not right? She'll invite all these foreigners over here, give them financial aid and all kinds of things, help them set up businesses. But you who have given your blood, sweat, and tears and your ancestors who built up this country, she puts barriers up to keep you from being successful. The America abroad is a reflection of the domestic America. And the dollar is falling due to the policies of not only the government, but the people who put the government in place. Is that not correct? So now they want to blame each other, but it's too late. But he said something, that the dollar is all they have left, and they're going to bring the dollar down. They're not bringing the dollar down. It is God in person that is bringing the dollar down. Long before this man ever uttered a word, Elijah Muhammad told us that America would see a decline of her dollar. He said this, when you could not fathom the dollar not being a world reserve currency, Elijah Muhammad was telling you. He was telling you in the 60s that America's gold had been gone so long they don't even know what it looked like. And now you hear Peter Schiff and Jim Rogers say, we don't believe the Fed has any gold. Even Ron Paul said it. We want to audit the Fed because we don't believe the Fed has any gold in it. Well, if the man of God spoke it first, then evidently it's divine, right? And it's not the elite that's doing it. It's the God who has power over the elite, who is bringing his word, his will, his purpose, and his aims to be. And this is why I constantly tell y'all, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because you get all this insight, all this good stuff. So when you hear them talking, when you're looking at these interviews, you can discern between the rubbish and what little truth that they may give to you. So we'll go further to this next clip. This is a minute and something. Then we're going to hear what Mr. Jim Willie has to say, and then we're going to go into those clips. I think we do have time for most of those clips about the economy. And then I think on the next version we're going to transition. We're going to refresh your mind on what we're talking about on this one. Then we'll do part two, and we'll refresh your mind on that. Then we'll go into the military part, because I don't think we may have time for all that. I did schedule a two-hour show, but I don't think we have time for all that. So listen to this 1 minute and 30 second clip, and we'll be right back, if they allow us to play it, all right? I also want to say this to black man and black woman now that we're talking. We are being hit by a few viruses. We've kept it under wraps, but hopefully the virus protection that we have will keep it at bay. And the reason the clip is not playing right now is because the whole thing is frozen up. We're trying to bring this back up. I guess we're just hitting them too hard. I guess they're just saying, you know what? No, you're not going to play these clips right now because we want to get your audience uneasy. We want to get them frustrated. We want to get you frustrated. Well, guess what? Every negative that you take, God will turn it into a positive for us, okay? So this just gives us a little more extra time to talk about what's actually going on. So, brothers and sisters, with the dollar collapsing, what you are seeing is God breaking the power of America. Think about that. God is breaking the power of the greatest, and when I say great, I'm not talking about in the term of good. The greatest, the so-called richest, most influential.
So, let me just back up here for one sec. One, do you think the Fed, by raising the interest rates, do you think this was a signal that they're about to bring down the economy? Was this the first step?
Yes, and if you look at some of my articles from last year, I wrote several about the pillars. There were three pillars holding up the U.S. economy. The first pillar was quantitative easing. The second pillar was ultra-low interest rates and overnight loans to banks and corporations, and the third pillar is the dollar's world reserve status. We've lost QE, and we're losing the low interest rates right now, and then the final stage would be the loss of world reserve status, and at that point, the U.S. economy will collapse. And I've been predicting that the Fed would raise rates way back when everyone said that there was no way they would raise rates, that they would go into negative rates, or they would go into QE4, which they may do, but that would be after, I think that would be after an equities crash or after a major crisis, that they may move into quantitative easing or something like that, a QE4. But at this point, they're definitely going to raise rates because, if my theory is correct, they're pulling those pillars out from underneath the U.S. economy in order to create a crisis.
Trying to create a crisis. They're trying to stop this crisis from going on. But again, he is agreeing to what we're saying. The pillars of America, the pillars of the strongest, most influential, and most powerful nation in the annals of the last 6,000 years are starting to be pulled from under them and are crumbling. This means that if the strongest pillar, listen, in a house or in a building, they have all of these different pillars up, right? And then they have one pillar in particular, or a few pillars in particular, that are called the load-bearing pillars, right? If for some reason these pillars get damaged or collapse, they condemn the structure because the structure is no longer safe to be in because it could fall down on you at any moment, right? Well, America being the most powerful nation, the richest nation, the most influential nation in the annals of the last 6,000 years, for her pillars to be pulled from up under her, for her to collapse, this means that the weight-bearing pillar of the white world is being removed. This means that the whole world of the Caucasian is being condemned for destruction. Is this not right? So this man made on the last clip, not this clip, but the previous clip, he made a statement. And I'm talking to you, brothers and sisters. I don't have my dashboard. The dashboard is completely down, so I'm just talking to you, and I'm on a dictionary. So I wanted to go back to something that he said. He talked about the correction taking place. Now, we're going to go back to the dictionary because we have to understand these words which are being spoken to us. All right? We have to understand them thoroughly because sometimes these people talk to you. They talk to their brothers, and they know you're listening. They talk to their sisters, and they know you're listening, but sometimes some of the stuff that they say go over your head, and those are the key things that you need to know and understand. So he talks about, yes, there's going to be a correction. There's a certainty that there will be a correction. So according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word correction means the action or an instant of correcting, rebuke, punishment, rectification, amendment, a bringing into conformity with a standard, a decline in market price or business activity following and counteracting a rise, something substituted in place of what is wrong, okay? A quantity applied by way of correcting or adjusting of an instrument. So what we're looking at when they're talking about a correction, they're telling you that the system is inherently incorrect. They're telling you that the global governance is incorrect. They're telling you that the people who have governed this system and these markets are incorrect. Therefore, there is a need. And even if there wasn't a need, there is a mathematical certainty that a correction must take place because everything is out of order, right? Isn't that one of their statements? Order out of chaos. Isn't that what they say? One of the military statements. So we see that the whole global structure, the whole global scheme, the whole way of global governance, be it monetary or political, is out of whack, out of order. Therefore, there needs to be and there will be a correction. Because why? Because the other stuff is wrong. You don't correct stuff that's right, do you? Blood-soaked. The global winds of war scream louder. So the dashboard just popped back up. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So let us get to this. So what we're looking at is a collapse in power. Here we go again, brothers and sisters. As soon as I said that, they started blinking on and off. I shouldn't have said that. I should have just went to a clip. But anyway, this is what we have to go through to get this show. But we good. Y'all are still with me. It's as soon as it comes back up, immediately I'm just going to hit a clip. I won't say anything. I just hit a clip. But in this situation, as you analyze these things and you see and you hear what they're saying, you got to, brothers and sisters, you have to be honest about the situation. And you have to admit, okay, there is a correction. That means things are incorrect. And if things are incorrect and God was said to be coming and he is a correct God, then, of course, he is the one that is ushering in that thing which will correct the wrong. This is why you have a ruler. A ruler is to draw a straight line. You have a ruler to draw a straight line. Without the ruler, it is almost impossible to draw a straight line. You can draw a near straight line, but without the ruler, you cannot. So on the coming of the ruler, on the presence of a ruler, you can now correct that which was incorrect and draw a straight line by looking straight down, straight forward at the ruler and his example that has been given to you. Is that not right? Okay? It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See how we have to go through all this stuff to get this truth out. Freezing of dashboards, getting hit by multiple attacks. Live on that. Dropping calls, mics muted, getting banned from on the air, then all of a sudden getting put back on the air. But it's beautiful because it goes to show you the price that you have to pay for the liberation, the mental and spiritual liberation of your people. All right? It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's also a beautiful time to be black because black is now getting ready to receive justice because we are now in the midst of a judgment. And I'm hoping that I will get a chance to play these clips to you, brothers and sisters. I'm hoping so. We're having problems. We're being hit on multiple fronts, but I need you to hear these clips, and I want you to hear the frustration in the despair in their voices. Remember, we have that despair when we're calling for justice, when we're calling for them to be colorblind when they're killing us. We're saying, give us justice. Leave us alone. Stop killing us. Stop doing this. We have this frustration built up in us because we've been treated so unfair. And now God takes that frustration out of us and puts it into them, and that you can feel and you can hear the disappointment in their heart and in their head and in their mind. They're speaking out right in front of you. I mean, when we get to these clips with Chris, Christopher, whatever his name is. Anyway, you you'll hear exactly what I'm talking about. But what I'm going to try to do to get to this, maybe black man and black woman, if you can, put your hand up. My screen is blacking on, blacking off, and I don't want to just be talking in the air. So I'm not aware if I'm still live because I know how they do things. If you can, please, somebody text me, put your hands in the air, do something so that I'll know, because they're playing games now that we're getting deeper into this subject of blood soap, the global winds of war. And I know why they're doing this. They're doing this to waste the time. 10, 5, 10, 15 minutes that we could have been analyzing things. They're doing this to waste that time. Because they know I have something for you. I want you to look at these things, listen to these things, so that you will not say that Elijah Muhammad lied to you. So all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you can, please give me a text message or a hands up on the air, and it'll let me know that I'm still live on the air right now, okay? Because everything is freezing up, everything. All right, black man, black woman, and I'm going to wait to see if I can get one of those from any of you all. All right, and hopefully, thank you. We're still live on it. Thank you. I just got it. Yeah, somebody, I forgot the brother's name of the brother, Gerald. Brother Gerald, Christopher Green. Yes, sir, brother. I got you, brother. That's his name, Christopher Green. Thank you, my brother. But, seems like they're wasting our time, and we won't get a chance to get these clips out to you, brothers and sisters. Everything is just frozen, black man and black woman. But hopefully we will get a chance to. I want to apologize to you, but this is how they try to frustrate the listener. This is how they try to frustrate the show. And believe me, when you hear these clips, you will hear the anger, the disappointment, the disillusionment, the confusion, the hurt. Especially at the end when he just started cursing. He just starts going off. Because you can tell he feels betrayed. You can tell he sees his world is at his end. His republic, his nation, his country that they fought and bled for and stole from the other people. You can see that they see that it is coming to an end. And it's hurting them. Because they never thought that this day would happen. They never thought. Think about this. I want you to think about this. I mean, while we're talking and waiting for these things to unfreeze or whatever, think about this. This American. And then we talk about the white world in general, but we're talking about America specifically. She can go and bomb nations. She can go and occupy nations. She can acquire nuclear weapons. She can acquire weapons of mass destruction. She can acquire warships and warplanes. She can go and occupy other nations. But don't you do that. Don't you do it. It's right for her and Great Britain and France to get nuclear weapons, for Russia to get them. But how dare any aboriginal nation get any nuclear weapons? Do you see this? We can sanction you, but you can't sanction us. We can steal your resources for humanitarian purposes, but we can mistreat an entire people who has sacrifice their life, their blood, their sweat, their brain power, everything to maintain our nation. And that's not a humanitarian crisis. A whole people, now think about this, they're screaming, and this is not to knock the Palestinians because they're in trouble. But you're talking about 6 million people. Yet they ignore the cries of 68 million people who are beaten, robbed, spoiled, and reduced to almost vagabond status within their own country. You see the humanitarian crisis in Libya to intervene, but you can't intervene when the police is cracking the skull of a teenage boy or shooting a teenage boy who is out there playing cops and robbers with a toy gun that you made and sold to him. It was all good when you manufactured it, put it on the shelf, marketed it to him, and when he bought it, spent his money to buy your stuff, but you can't intervene in that. But you can intervene in Syria. This stuff, brothers and sisters, this stuff has to come to a halt. This cannot go on in perpetuity. It cannot go on forever. This injustice, this arrogance, this hubris of the Western nation. I can bomb. My bombs are good. Yours are bad. You kill somebody. You kill three people. You're a criminal. I bomb a hospital with three, four. 4,000 people over there. Oh, it was bad logistical report, intel. You could not in any way say that we tried to do that purposely, and you're constantly doing it. If you're doing it over and over and over again, you're doing it purposely. North Korea can't get a nuclear bomb. North Korea can't get a nuclear bomb. How dare they test a missile? And then America says, in the same voice, look at it. We need to sanction North Korea for testing one of their ballistic missiles, which they will use to defend their country against our aggression. And then America goes and parks her ships right off North Korea's coast, and guess what she's doing now? She said, we're going to have missile tests. She's not having the missile tests in America. Guess what she's doing? She's having them off the coast of Korea. But no sanctions. No drumbeat for sanctions in the Western press. And what about America 5 days ago firing an intercontinental ballistic missile from her west coast? She did this. Go Google it. Not a peep in the news. But North Korea test firing a short-range missile, and they get sanctioned. Hmm? Do you see this? Do you think that this can go on for this injustice, this arrogance of the Western world, especially America, the empire? Do you believe that this can go on in perpetuity? If it does, then that shows that God is weak. If it does, then that means there is no justice. If it does go on, then that shows you that your life has been in vain. And we know that this is not the case. Every dog has his day, and sometimes a dog may have two or three. And the day of reckoning has come for America. And this is what has gotten her all upset and pushing for war. You say, well, her policies are not making sense. Trump is confused. This is the day of confusion. God comes in the clouds. He comes in the confusion. He confuses the minds of the people. And we have to understand that America is a wounded dog. She has been the top dog on the block for the longest. And she's wounded. I was looking at the animal planet. Let me give you an analogy. I was looking at the animal planet. And the animal planet was showing this lion. This lion had been the ruler of the pride for the longest. And some other lions, two brother lions, had come on the scene. And they wanted to challenge for dominance. And the two younger lions were kind of skeptical. They knew that they could take him, but they were kind of skeptical because this dude, he whooped everybody. But they knew he had just fought and he kind of was slightly injured, but the lion who was injured would not show too many injuries and would always run at these two lions and scare them to the edge of the zone of the pride, okay? Now, but the more he did that, the more he exacerbated the injury that he had sustained in the previous war with another lion. They knew that he was injured, but they were not ready to pounce on him because they believed that he was still strong enough. So what they kept doing is entering his territory, making him chase them, exacerbating the ailment or injury, and then making him lose energy. And finally, when they saw that he was slower than what he was, they jumped on him. The bully became the recipient of other bullies, and he lost his pride. That's the same thing that's going on with America. The nations see her as a weak nation. They see her in trouble. They know that she's in trouble. Black man, black woman, listen to me good. They know. I'm not telling you something that is not known around the world. They know. But what they're doing, they're grinding her. They're not ready yet to take her. So they'll look at these provocations because they know that there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded lion, a wounded dog that is backed in the corner. They have nothing to lose. And so when America's making these nuclear threats and America's moving all these warships here and there, what the war planners of these areas of the globe are thinking about is collateral damage. And can we do this in a period not so far in the distant future without as much collateral damage? And they've come to the conclusion that the longer America is left out there to toil, the weaker she becomes and the less damage that she can inflict on others. So when you're looking at her provocation, and you're wondering why didn't Russia hit her when she's in Syria yet? Because the time is not ready for that. Why is Russia allowing America to take over Ukraine? Because the time is not ready for Russia to intervene. Why is China allowing America to deploy over there in South Korea and Japan? Because the time is not fully there yet. And when the time is fully there, you'll see the winds of change. You'll see war. And you will see America get exposed because she's injured economically. She's injured politically. Look at this. They can't even agree on two things in Congress, right? And they're corrupt as hell from the rooter to the tutor. Is that not right? And militarily, she's weak. But she must try to project herself. This is what the messenger said in chapter 2 of the Fall of America. Let me read it to you. I'm going to get it. Here we go. America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. One that she will not be able to carry. See, eventually, she's going to succumb to the wound. She's going to succumb to all these wounds that she's suffering a death by a thousand cuts, he says. One that she will not be able to carry. Therefore, she must, she don't have no choice in the matter. Must means you are obligated to. Right? And since God's messenger is speaking, this is done by divine decree. She must succumb to the powerful forces that are coming against her. The fall of a nation makes way for another. As the earth continues, all nations and their civilizations are limited upon it, except the original nation, which takes on renewals and changes. Though in appearance, this is quick, I hope you pay close attention to this. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast, she's moving towards an ultimate end. So we look at her threats of North Korea, we look at her threats to China, we look at these threats, and we look at her threats to Russia and Iran. And the messenger says it, and he says it very bluntly. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast, she is moving towards an ultimate end. So in appearance, America seems like there's no match for her militarily. In appearance, the dollar doesn't seem like it's collapsing. In appearance, America seems like she has no equal. Is that not right? In appearance. So, what does that mean? Well, let's go to the dictionary. All right? If we can access the dictionary now, because we've been hit by multiple wires. All right? So, hopefully, we can get to it. Hold on one second. Let's see if we can. Brothers and sisters, they are freezing this thing, and I am still unable. I'm still unable to access anything, but I'm still talking to you all, okay? I'm still trying to do this without it. Let's see. We'll go to the hand dictionary, see if they have it in here. Appearance. Actually, they don't even have it in here. Well, appearance is not always what's behind the scene. It's like a magical trick. The magician makes you, he slices your eyes with his hand. He makes you think something is in reality what it's not. It is the appearance, the outer shell of something. This is America. She puts on this show of false bravado. That she is unmatched, that she cannot be beaten, that she is the bomb.com, as they would say, that she is unrivaled in power. She puts on this appearance. But in reality, it is far from what the appearance looks like. She's stretched thin militarily. She is falling down economically, domestically. Her economy is collapsing. Internationally, her currency and her monetary policy is being rejected. So, her military is suffering defeat after defeat on the battlefield, so she lashes out like she did last time when she lashed out and hit Syria's military base. She lashed out. And one reason why she's playing musical chairs right now. When I say musical chairs, I'm talking about her redeployments and her deployments. She just keeps reshuffling soldiers here and there and only allowing them to come home for a few days or a month or so. Muhammad says that because she has no work for them to do at home, she must do these things to try to keep the scheme going. Because if she brings them home and she can't provide them a job, she will have to deal with the worst problem that she has ever faced as a nation, and that is unemployed for her armed forces. They were trained to fight, and guess what's going to happen if they can't feed their family, if they can't pay their mortgages, if they can't pay their car notes, and they just came back from war zones? That's what in the hell would have happened in America. Civil war. You see? She's in a catch-22 situation, and she knows this. She knows it, and she knows it, she knows it, and she's playing musical chairs with the troops, and she's trying to redeploy them here, redeploy them there. She's doing her best not to have to bring them home and therefore to keep them out there. Guess what happens? To justify them overseas, guess what happens? She must have war. She must have instability. She must have all those things that is needed to justify her deploy and redeploy. This is what is causing her collapse. She's trying to maintain her empire, but at the same time, the deployments, the war games, the re-upping on ammunition, the deployment of doing these naval strike tests and all this stuff, the adding of armament to her military, guess what that is? That's a lot of money. Guess what she has to do? She has to borrow that money. Guess who she borrows it from? The same people she's trying to make war with. That's crackhead politics. Is that not right? Come on, talk back to your brother. You know what I'm saying. It's the truth, black man and black woman. You know that. You know your brother's telling you what's good. You can't deny this stuff. It is the truth. And we're looking at the fall of America, and you just don't want to acknowledge it because you've fallen in love with this devil society. You've fallen in love with it. And you think that there would never be an end to it. But you're living in the end of it right here, right now. She's fallen. And I mean, she is truly fallen. And black man and black woman, I'm talking to you all, and I don't have a screen up again, but I'm feeling that I'm still on the air. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit longer, and we're going to see if they'll put the screen up for me. If not, we're going to end the show in a few minutes, and then we're going to come back and do a part two. And we might do it longer since they since they're messing with me. I'll go at them like that. But black man and black woman, I have these clips I wanted to play for you all. If you could hear these clips, it would really give you an insight to the thinking of what this white man sees happening to his world and what's coming down. He's so angry now. He's so frustrated. He's so fed up. He's hurting so bad that he sees his world crumbling, and he can do nothing to stop this. This is beautiful in my eyesight because for so long they've destroyed other people's freedom. They've destroyed other people's economies. They've destroyed other people's independence. And now it is blowing back on them and they cannot take it. Cannot take it. Isn't that something? The same people that can give out hell, dish out hell, rob people, deny people, are the same people that if you just do one thing to them, they can't take it. And they call it for arms. Now they even want to go against their own governments now. Remember, they were loving the governments, and now they want to go against their own governments now. This is the confusion that God puts in them. They are fallen, and they know that this is the end of them as a power. This is the end of them as a republic. And I just wanted to share those clips with you all. Because to me, if you can just listen to them, and I'm not talking about just sit there and say, okay, that was a good clip. No, I'm saying hear it. When you're listening, hear what they're saying. Understand the moment and when they're speaking. It gives so much more to what you're saying. It gives so much more to help you understand this thing. And brothers and sisters, we're trying to put screens pop up, but they're still frozen, and we're trying to pull up more screens. We got, and I want to say that we have like three computers up. All three of them are doing this. So there's no way around this, okay? So we're doing what we can. And even the clock on our dashboard stopped a long time ago at 48, 49. So this means this is coming from Blog Talk, okay? This is not something outside of Blog Talk. This is happening through Blog Talk. But we're still going strong. And we've done, I'm looking at my phone, we've done over an hour and a half of the show. I wanted to do more. I'm trying to set up something, and hopefully in just a minute we'll see if this will go through to play at least one of these clips. I'm working on something behind the scenes while I'm talking to you all. But I want to go back to something. But man, I want to tell Blog Talk something, but I want to tell it to them in street language, if you get my drift. That's really what I want to do, because the show I had, and I wanted you to hear certain things, and now Blog Talk is really, really keying me off with them because of the interference in the show. They don't bother any other show the way they bother this, any other show. Why? Ask them why. Because this is the only show out there that's going to give you 100% truth as given to us by God through his last apostle. Without addition, without subtraction, give it to you just like that, okay? And hopefully, let's see if we can get something going here, black man, black woman. Maybe they will allow me to do something in just a second. It seems like it's flashing on and off. Oh, it's not happening. They're not doing it. I'm going from computer to computer, and all of it is doing the same thing over and over again. But we're going to go back to Fall of America. We're going to do this, and if it doesn't come back after that, we're going to close the show, and then afterwards, black man, we're going to go to part two, and then we're going to do a two-hour show again, and we're going to see if they're going to interfere with that one again. Man, this makes me mad. But anyway, so he says, though in appearance, America seems steadfast, she is moving towards an ultimate end. One great problem to be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negro. So now stop. In the fall of America, one of the great things that must be done is to have you liberated. So when you see in America being beaten over there and redeploying and catching hell economically and catching hell politically and being isolated internationally, this is being done for your liberation. He says, one of the problems to be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negro, the lost and found people of the original black nation of the earth. They have been here for four centuries, mistreated and brought into a state of corruption and shame. They are now being helped. See, you're being helped. This is what I continue to tell most of you who get impatient with God. Okay? This is what he says. They are now being helped. I'm going to say that again. They are now being helped, although they are as blind mentally as someone is physically. Did you hear that? You're being helped, but you're blind to it. You understand? You're being helped, but you're blind to it. But all praise is due to Allah. I think we can go to one of the clips right now while they're doing this. Brothers and sisters, let me go to one of these clips, and I want you to listen closely. This is like a 14-minute clip. All right? I want you to listen closely to Mr. What is his name? Christopher Green. See, I had to take a note and look at Brother Jerry's text message to me. This is Christopher Green, okay? And I want you to pay close attention to what he has to say on this. If they allow, they're freezing it up again, black man. As soon as I was getting ready to hit it, I was hitting it, but they were not playing it. Hopefully we can get to this, though. But, again, I want you to pay close attention to this. If we're able to hit it and it goes through, I want you to listen, because this is very important that you hear what's going on in his head. Anyway, let me try to go over to this other screen and see if they'll allow me to do it over here. Let me go to the other computer and see if they'll allow me to do it over here. Brothers and sisters, they're blocking me. It's just, this is coming from Blog Talk Radio. This is not coming from some outside, entity or whatever. This is Blog Talk Radio doing this. But let me go back to something while we're trying to wait for them to do this, because I really don't want to go off the air. I really want to talk to y'all. He says, they have been here for 4 centuries, mistreated and brought into a state of corruption and shame. They are now being helped, although they are as blind mentally as someone is physically. So your help is underway. You just got to be patient. The help is underway. And it is going on right now, even though you can't see it, you don't acknowledge it. You say, I can't see. Of course you can't see. God is doing some work that you can't process right now. But it is underway. And Muhammad goes further. He says, in all the preparation of the divine supreme being, so he's talking about the God of all of us, had made preparation. He said, in all the preparation of the divine supreme being and the nation of righteousness to remove the enemy of God and the righteous from the earth, the poor so-called American Negro cannot see it. And this is why some of you get antsy. This is why some of you get overcome with anxiousness, because you can't process it. You can't see it. But you got to understand there's levels of growth to this stuff. There are many levels of growth to this. And you're acknowledging that you're not wise enough in your spirituality to see it. But you must be patient, because it is well underway. Go over to the next page. I want you to listen to this. Okay? This is the problem to be solved. If it is to be solved, talking about your salvation in the midst of America being destroyed, then how shall it be solved? And what is the best method to use in the solution? So Muhammad asks, he says this is the problem to be solved. Then he says, if it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? Then he goes and says, and what is the best method to use in the solution? And then he goes and says this, he answers himself, it must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but those who cleave to him while defying the wrath of Almighty God Allah. Then listen to what he says. It is incumbent, says the Holy Quran, that Allah gives life to this mentally dead so-called Negro. It is also made incumbent in the Bible, where Ezekiel declares in his vision that all of the dry bones were resurrected. This does not refer so much to the word, because the word has no effect on their resurrection. Right? Ooh, whoa, you mean the word don't resurrect the people no more? The word becomes a warning. Because the people become hard-hearted, stiff-necked, hard-headed, and rebellious. So now it takes something that is literally more violent or more powerful in their eyes to awaken the people. So you no longer rely just on the word. Listen to what he says. This does not refer so much to the word, because the word has no effect on their resurrection. It literally took something more effective than the word. The winds that the prophets were to prophesy to represent wars, which will eventually bring harm and suffering to the rebellious rejecters of the truth. So, now, the wars. You're fighting a war every day in your neighborhood. You're fighting a war every day against the taxes. These wars go from minute scrimmages to large-scale confrontations on a global scale. This is where we are in prophecy. This is where we are in time. We are watching the fall of America. We're watching the fall of the Anglo world. And if you can't see this, if you can't process this, then maybe it's not that God is not working. Maybe it's that God maybe has no use for you at this moment, if you can't see this. Because it's crystal, crystal clear that something of the greatest magnitude is underway. Is it not right? It is crystal clear that we are living in the fall of America. We're living in the last days of Yaqub. And anyone with common sense can see it. Why is there so many wars? Why is there the threat? And the white man tells you. As a matter of fact, Paul Craig Roberts, the former Treasury Secretary, Assistant Treasury Secretary, he talks about walking down America now and looking at how she's declining, how she's falling. And then he goes and talks about the rising power and influence of Russia, China, Iran, and all of the BRIC nations and all of the Eastern nations, and how the power is changing from west to east. These are what Elijah Muhammad said and told us to expect. Now, we could easily ignore him and disregard him if his words were not so weighty with truth. I know you don't like that, but it's the truth. And we prove it every day on the show. You can't do nothing about it but accept it or reject it. And what I'm saying to you is this. There comes a time, man, when you are presented with enough truth where you have to put them on a scale of fact, and you yourself must make a decision of what you shall choose and how you shall live and how you shall govern yourself. Not all, we're not right. It's hard to be 100% right in a wrong world. It's hard to be 100% right, especially in hell, here in the hells of North America. I'm saying strive. You've got to strive. You've got to strive to be upright. That's in your prayers, right? You're going to strive to be upright. And we're striving to be upright to he who is originating a new heaven and a new earth. But some of you are caught up in the melee of this world. And, you know, it's like with a radio. You put that radio on and you're trying to get a certain station. And if there's a lot of interference there, you can't finely tune your radio. Is that not right? You've got to get to a place where you can finely tune it and listen to it crystal clear. Is that not right? So I'm telling you, you got to get to yourself for a minute and take these words, take the truth, weigh this stuff, weigh it, disregard everything that they told you about that movie Malcolm X, disregard everything that they're telling you about what Wallace said and what all these other people say. What I'm asking you to do is, they say justice is blind, put on your blinders and only go on the scale of facts, weigh the words and see if they weigh with the weight of God. And if they weigh with the weight of God, I would advise you to accept them. And like Saladin used to always say, eat them up, brother. Chew them up, eat them up, and swallow them up. Digest Elijah Muhammad. So I'm asking you to do the same thing. If this truth means anything towards you, if you truly, I see a lot of black leaders who have fallen by the wayside trying to get black liberation the wrong way. They're going about it the wrong way. They no longer can wait on Master Farad Muhammad. They no longer can wait on Elijah Muhammad. So they go and they intermingle with all these different organizations, thinking that's going to get black unity, thinking that's going to get black pride, thinking that's going to be black liberation. That's not the way it's going to happen. The scriptures didn't say it's going to happen like that. The prophets didn't say that it would happen like that. The word of God didn't say that it would happen like that. You've got to be disciplined enough in your studies to understand the time and what is allotted to happen in certain times. And if you are not, with all of the love and the passion that you have for your people, it will go for naught if it is not executed the right way, the right time, and the right day. Brothers and sisters, we're going to do this part two without them messing with this show. So I'm going to say this in ending, with an undying love and passion for each and every one of the 68 million of our kind first here in America. Let me say this to you. Know that God is no longer to come. He has arrived. Know that his messenger, Elijah Muhammad, is the door out of this madness. You can accept it and live, or you can reject it and toil in this torment and die. Now, saying that, let me say that I love you more than life. But the love that I have for you, it always pales in comparison to that God and that man of God and that nation of gods, which is the nation of Islam under the leadership of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, on our next show, we're going to hit them hard, we're going to hurt them, and we're going to make them try to tamper with the show again. I love you all. Assalamu alaikum.